very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. People do shake their heads and wonder how Americans in a war zone can get to such a point where an innocent man might be yanked out of his home in front of his family and taken away. It's a court-martial at Camp Pendleton involving members of the Marine Corps and the Navy. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is there. Steve?
Well, Hartley, after court-martial, Navy Corpsman Nelson Bacos has pleaded guilty to kidnapping and conspiracy, this stemming from the incident in Iraq last April. But the key part of this hearing has been Bacos' testimony. He's accused Marines of murder and a cover-up. He said Marines took this 52-year-old Iraqi man, a civilian, from his home. The man was taken to a roadside, his hands and feet tied, and he was killed. Bacos said after killing those involved were told by the senior Marine to lie to investigators to say that they thought the Iraqi man was planting roadside bombs. Live at Camp Pendleton, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
It rained in Apex, North Carolina today, which scrubbed the air clean of the chlorine cloud, and the chemical fire is almost but not quite out.
It's hazy today. It's been raining. It's drizzling right now. And officials are really crediting this, the wet weather, with helping to control this situation, helping to dissipate those plumes of chlorine that were pouring from this plant overnight, and also the wind shifting it away from populated areas. So this has been a good thing today.
CBS's Gwen Belton. It's a cat that won't make you sneeze, won't make your eyes swell up.
It still exists. It's still there, but it's at a lower molecular weight. So people that are allergic, their autoimmune system can't detect it.
That's Megan Young, the CEO at Allerca, which has come up with this genetically altered, normal-looking cat. Could be just about any cat, genetically tuned up not to have that eye-watering protein in it. We learn about it only now, a third death to the E. coli contamination of fresh spinach, a woman in Nebraska who died in late August. 190 other people got sick around the country before the crops were finally inspected, cleared, and the all-clear given a week ago. An assistant to one of the White House's top political gurus has resigned.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. It's a casualty of the Abramoff lobbying scandal. Susan Ralston, an assistant to top presidential advisor Karl Rove, resigned in the wake of a congressional report on the lobbyist. Ralston once worked for Abramoff and was a recipient of tickets to sporting events he sent to the White House. A spokeswoman says Ralston resigned so she would not become a distraction for the White House.
A chef in Providence, Rhode Island, has bugs on the menu. Not the occasional gnat or roach that falls into the grinder for the meat sauce. David Gracer's talking katydids for dinner. Gracer says they're easy to catch, nutritious, and tasty, and there are billions more bugs than there are the rest of us. The Audubon Society of Rhode Island has a big bug tasting tomorrow. Wall Street, the Dow was down 16, the Nasdaq lost 6 on the day. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar emergency, this is Belinda.
Come quick, my daddy's in trouble. My dad is... 2x4.
Okay, I have you on Hayden Hill. I'm going to conference in emergency services.
Every month, OnStar offers help in thousands of emergencies.
Police.
This is Belinda with OnStar. I have a young child on Hayden Hill. Something has happened to his father.
Hurry, I got 20 feet of water crossing me.
We'll get help out to you.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
Daddy, they're coming.
The police are there?
You're okay, sir?
Daddy, are you okay?
Yeah, we're all set.
Okay. Please know we're here when you need us.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Canada is upset that one of its innocent citizens was well and truly run through the anti-terror ringer. CFRB's Brian Lilly reports.
Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper informed President Bush during a phone call that Canada will launch an official protest over the treatment of Meher Arar by American authorities. Arar was detained during a layover at New York's JFK Airport. Rather than return to Canada, he was deported to Syria, imprisoned and tortured for a year. An inquiry cleared Arar of terrorist links and faulted Canadian police for faulty intelligence and American officials for deporting a Canadian overseas without informing Canada. Brian Lilly for CBS News, Ottawa.
Harvard professor Edward Wilson's been waving the red flag over threats to biodiversity for many years. Now he's told students at Montana State University as many as half the world's species may face extinction by the turn of this century. Climate change, pollution, and human habitat, the reasons. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
Live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and unpredictable. From the left coast, this is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. They named this little thing after me. Are you ready? Are you steady? Can we go? Ladies and gentlemen, the Peter B. Collins Show is on the air. Your calls and comments are welcome at any point because this is a two-way talk show and dialogue's important. We provide the toll-free number and we pay for the call. It's your free speech. Use it. My number is 888-5-PETER-B. In digits, that's 888-573-8372. You're also welcome to email me whenever you like. The email address, peter@peterbcollins.com. We have three great guests on the program today, and each one of them has enough to say that they could be here for the entire 3 hours. Next hour, Scott Dick, in his weekly visit to the Peter B. Collins Show. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He retired as a major from the U.S. Army, and there's a whole lot to talk about, including General Abizaid's remarks that no troops are going to be coming home before next summer. And actually, our troop levels in Iraq have crept up to almost 150,000 again. Also, last week when Scott was with us, he brought to our attention a bill on Capitol Hill that would change the strictures on chaplains and permit them to be much more forward in their proselytizing and their presentation of specific religious viewpoints. And we've got somebody who's deeply opposed to that. Mikey Weinstein will join us during Scott Dick's hour. And he is a former judge advocate general in the United States Air Force. He graduated from the Air Force Academy. Three of his kids have. One of them is there right now. And he is livid that Duncan Hunter wants to, well, reduce the separation of church and state in the military. And in our third and final hour today, our weekly visit with Brad Friedman on voter integrity issues. And Brad needs about 6 hours today. But we're going to talk about the meltdown last week in Maryland. And the governor there has said no more electronic voting machines. He wants paper ballots this November. We'll also talk about Brad's advocacy for the Let America Vote Act using paper ballots this November, the photo ID bill in Washington, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s new article. Oh, there's so much more to talk about. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I hope you listen as long as you can. And before I introduce our first guest, indulge me for a comment. We've been talking at some length on this program over the past few weeks about the sordid bargaining over America's policy regarding torture and the trial of detainees. And a deal has been struck, and once again the White House appears to be an insincere participant in a deal. Senator McCain left the White House yesterday saying, yeah, we've got a deal. But it doesn't include habeas corpus. And it does remove some of the most onerous proposals from the Bush White House. But the White House left an opening saying, well, we're going to have to check with Duncan Hunter and see if the House will go along with these Senate changes. And this is the point where the Democrats can no longer sit back and just watch the Republicans duke it out amongst themselves. And I am calling out Senator Barbara Boxer, Senator Russ Feingold, John Kerry, if you've got something to say, this is the time to speak up. Because the Republican machine wants to jam this through and have it voted out of both houses by the end of next week. There is no imminent need to do that, and I hope Democrats will stand on principle, threaten the filibuster, and defer this issue to the next term. That's what I'd like to see, and I hope that the Democrats will step up to the proverbial plate. Joining us now from Washington, D.C., where he is a professor of psychology at Georgetown University. He's also a senior fellow at Stanford University's Center for Interdisciplinary Policy, Education, and Research in Terrorism. He is Fatali M. Mogadam, and he is the author of a book called From the Terrorists' Point of View, What They Experience and Why They Come to Destroy. Professor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to get your perspectives on a number of issues. You were born in Iran, and so I take it, just guessing at your age, that you grew up under the regime of the Shah, Reza Pahlavi.
Well, yes. I experienced Reza Pahlavi, and I was quite happy to have him ousted. It was one of the shameful episodes in American foreign policy that Pahlavi was supported, and if the Mossadegh regime had been allowed to continue, we would not have been in this mess at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have an interesting history, and a little bit later I want to get you to talk about your experiences in Baluchistan and your impressions of America's intervention on behalf of the Mujahideen in Afghanistan in the 1980s.
Yes.
But first up, Professor, I wanted to get your reaction to the unusual events at the United Nations this week. There was an opportunity for our president to have some sort of an encounter with the Iranian leader, Ahmadinejad, and like a schoolboy, he avoided it, and they talked past one another. Bush talked over the heads of Iranian representatives at the UN and directly to Iranian citizens and other residents of the Middle East in a way that I found patronizing and condescending. But tell me your thoughts about the events this week and the posture of the U.S. toward Iran.
Well, as a psychologist, I'd have to say that over the last almost three decades now, the United States and Tehran, the Tehran regime, have acted very immaturely, both of them. They've acted like adolescents. They've acted on their passions, their emotions. They have refused to use rational reasoning. They have really not got over certain incidents. Iran has not got over the U.S. support for the Shah, and the U.S. has not got over the hostage-taking. It's a situation where we need to put both of them in therapy and both groups of them in therapy.
And you were in Tehran at the time of the hostage crisis.
Yes, that's right. Some of my students actually took part in the hostage crisis. It was an event that has been repeated in the sense that the mullahs in Tehran have worked out a very smart strategy, smart in the sense that it keeps them in power, a strategy of bullying the United States to take threatening action, and through that threat, the regime in Tehran mobilizes support internally and represses any voice of freedom internally. So it works to their benefit. They use the threat threat of America, the threat of American intervention. And of course, these days, all they have to do is point to Iraq and say, do we really want that? And of course, nobody wants that,
mm-hmm.
especially in the near and Middle East. They know very well what's going on in Iraq. And so this threat is used to repress internally.
And it is, I think it's somewhat similar to the U.S. policy toward Cuba and Castro's reaction. He continually uses Uncle Sam as the wedge to keep his population under control.
Absolutely. I think this is a policy that has backfired again and again for the United States. And unfortunately, it's a policy that has been followed by both Democratic and Republican administrations.
Indeed. You're right about that.
You know, it's something that they have to get over.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot deal with these regimes by simply saying we're going to ignore them and throwing a tantrum every time they appear.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with reality, and all you're doing is helping them to bolster the repression. It will be much more effective if they actually opened up and used whatever the powers they have to get cultural exchanges, to get more and more people coming and going. That's how those repressive regimes will collapse.
Mm-hmm. Professor, it's time for a break. As we continue, there's much more to talk about, and I want to give you an opportunity to define from the book that you wrote what you call the staircase concept in evaluating terrorists and their intentions, what motivates them. Looking forward to talking more with you, so stand by. We'll return in a moment. And if you'd like to talk with Professor Fatali Mogadam, he's with us this entire hour, you can get on the phone now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. And I'm still Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week, meet James Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings. James will be talking about some great investment opportunities, including K Club properties. Call him at 916-284-1732. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
part of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Are you tough enough? Is America tough enough?
10 miles on the mile, 10 feet. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, you are in the beat. I'm just a wood line and a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but
we're talking with Professor Fatali Mogadam. He is a professor at Georgetown University in psychology and also part of a prestigious group at Stanford University that looks at terrorist activities. And his new book is From the Terrorist's Point of View, What They Experience and Why They Come to Destroy. And Professor, focusing again on Iran for the moment, do you believe that there was an October surprise before Ronald Reagan took office? You know what I'm referring to, that there was a back-channel deal to release the hostages in exchange for what later became the Iran-Contra affair, the resupply of parts and military materiel to the Iranians.
Right. Well, I was in Tehran at the time, and I really don't have any additional information to what you have over here.
Mm-hmm.
However, the street talk in Tehran was that certainly there was a deal.
The reason I bring it up is that Robert Parry, who is an investigative journalist, and you can read his work at consortiumnews.com, he published a piece earlier this week talking about the threads of first the October surprise, then the Iran-Contra affair, and how that has affected U.S.-Iranian relations.
Yes.
And the Bush family in particular, because George W. Bush was allegedly present at the Paris meeting October 16th of 1979, no, it would have been 1980, during the election year, where the deal was allegedly struck. And there is a thought that, you know, there's a thread that runs over the past 30-plus years of these tensions between the U.S. and Iran with the Bush family in the middle.
Yes. Well, the Bush family has been in the middle, and the tensions have not disappeared. And what I would focus on, rather than going into any specific sort of theories that might be conspiratorial or not, what I would focus on really is the issue of what the decision should be made of. And as far as I can see, there is a gut reaction, an emotional reaction right now among Americans as well as decision makers. If you talk to Americans about the hostage taking, if you talk to them about 9/11, there are passions, very strong passions, and there should be. But the problem is that these passions, these emotions are being allowed to drive decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And this is getting us into trouble. On the other side, the Iranians have the same problem. They are, their policy is very much passion-driven, and it is getting them into problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get over this.
Yeah. And part of the reason I raise this is that my sources indicate that there is a very serious plan that goes beyond contingency or scenario planning on the part of the Bush administration to launch military action against Iran in the very near future. Now, the deadline was unilaterally extended by the U.S. to early October for compliance with the call to halt enrichment of uranium.
Yes.
And, of course, Mr. Ahmadinejad in New York over the past couple of days said, hey, we're not building nuclear weapons. We don't want nuclear weapons. They're not consistent with Islam. And therefore, you know, what's the problem here? Now, I don't particularly believe that denial. I don't take it at face value. At the same time, I don't believe there's an imminent threat that requires immediate military action by the United States against Iran.
Yes, the talk in Washington certainly is of a military threat and specific plans to attack, possibly. And this is why people have to speak up now, because in my view, and I think in the view of most people who have looked at this carefully, a military attack on Iran, first of all, will not topple the regime.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it will strengthen the regime. Third, it will extend the catastrophic violence in the near and Middle East. It will put American lives at risk at even greater numbers. And the price of oil will shoot up to $200, $300.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think this will benefit America at all. It could get the Republicans' political benefit in the short term.
Mm-hmm. Very succinct and very well put. Thank you, Professor. Now, to Ahmadinejad, do you believe him when he says that they don't have plans to build a nuclear weapon?
I really don't have much faith in the leadership of Ahmadinejad because he is not acting in the best interests of Iran. I believe we should rely on UN sources rather than American sources at the moment, because at the same time, I don't have much faith in what could be coming out of the Pentagon, for example. I think what has happened is there is a lowering of trust in the government sources in the United States. That is a major problem. There is a lowering of trust because there has been so much misinformation. When we look at the situation in Iraq, the mismanagement of Iraq, the misinformation on Iraq, just cannot lead any rational person to have much faith in this administration's information at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I would much rather rely on the United Nations, although it is much maligned by all parties. I would rather depend on the United Nations and insist that that be the only source rather than any factions within the United States.
Okay. Let's take a call. Alice is on the line from Humboldt this afternoon. Hello, Alice. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter. I'm the professor.
Hello.
Hugo Chavez made some insulting remarks about President Bush, and some people are offended by that. That makes it appear that we, the people, are behind the president. I'm for sure not, and say, go Hugo Chavez.
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Alice. What's your reaction, Professor, to Mr. Chavez's performance at the United Nations?
Well, I think that's a very interesting question. There's a basic psychological process in intergroup dynamics. Extremists on one side will support and strengthen extremists on the other side.
Interesting.
What Chavez is doing is calling out names, just as this administration called out Axis of Evil.
Yes.
And said, you are evil, you are bad. On the other side, they are shouting out the devil, great Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So this name calling, as if it's a couple of teenagers angry at each other.
Yeah.
Name calling calling. What it's doing is...
I've got to stop you there, Professor. We'll pick up after the break. We're talking with Fatali Mogadam. His book is From the Terrorist Point of View. Your calls are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Your calls and comments are welcome as our guest continues to the top of the hour. My number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372. Your calls are subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency, just like everybody else.
Oh,
We're talking with Professor Fatali Mogadam. His book, From the Terrorist's Point of View, What They Experience and Why They Come to Destroy. He's a professor of psychology at Georgetown University, and he was born in Iran. Professor, I want to give you a chance to continue your comments that we had to ruthlessly interrupt for commercial break activity. You were responding to Alice's comments about President Chavez of Venezuela and the kind of frat boy name-calling that he engaged in. And I do have some empathy for his response, because he was trying to ridicule Bush and he was trying to respond to some of the name-calling that has emanated from the president, even at the same podium there at the United Nations over the past few years.
Yes, well, I think some Americans quite rightly have been upset by Chavez's name-calling, as many Venezuelans have been upset by remarks about Venezuela and Chavez. Similarly, I would say many Iranians and many Muslims have been upset by name-calling from this side. Things like the axis of evil is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And
if I may, we use the term, I'm going to back up, the administration uses the term terrorist in such a broad way that it is applied to a lot of people incorrectly and is used in these sweeping denunciations and sweeping characterizations that you're either with us or against us. And so if we're going to criticize rhetoric coming out of people who speak at the United Nations, we should apply some self-criticism as well as appropriate criticism of the behavior of Chavez.
Yes, exactly. But I would add to that that one of the effects of this, the psychological effect, is to mobilize extremists and to shift the forces so that on both sides what you have is extremists coming to the top and the middle ground is shrinking. So people who actually want to have dialogue and negotiate, they are finding they are shunted to the side.
Mm-hmm. And personally, I'm not really offended by the characterization of our president as the devil. I think that in some ways it's appropriate. He's led to an inferno in the Middle East that I believe could have been avoided.
Yes, it certainly could have been avoided. There is no doubt that the mismanagement of Iraq has created terrible problems, and the mismanagement of Afghanistan is creating terrible problems. What bothers me most is that the United States is losing a historic opportunity, because after 9/11 there was so much sympathy around the world for the United States, so much support, so much goodwill, that it created a golden opportunity for the U.S. to step forward and lead us towards a new era. But unfortunately, mismanagement in Iraq, particularly, there are probably between 150 and 200,000 people dead there, we don't know all the details yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that tragedy and the decline in the standard of living, the terrible situation there, people only having 3 or 4 hours of electricity a day in Baghdad, that kind of situation where life has declined rather than improved, that has put American prestige and influence around the world in peril.
Mm-hmm.
And that does bother me, because I look to the United States to provide leadership where it matters. And unfortunately, that is not going to happen unless we get a very different type of approach.
Mm-hmm. And Professor, tagging on to the Chavez subject, one of the things that I've seen, in the Bush family, now that we have the second president from that dynasty, the tendency to personalize conflicts. And so with Bush 1, it was Noriega who was the new Hitler, and then he was replaced by Saddam. And George W. Bush has come in and again personalized these conflicts in ways that I think is seriously mistaken. And you talk about this in your book as this desire by Americans to individualize the conflict with terrorist groups. And you say that we need to look beyond individuals, more at the group level. Explain.
Yes. To explain terrorism, it seems to me it's completely wrong to focus on individuals. First of all, we're talking right now about terrorism coming out of the Islamic world.
Mm-hmm.
That is the problem prominently right now. Of course, that's not the only kind of terrorism. I was in Ireland during the height of the IRA activities. There is Basque terrorism, Tamil Tigers, etc. We could add to the list, on and on and on. But for now, let's stick with Islamic terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
That terrorism, it seems to me, is emanating from a deep and pervasive identity crisis that's sweeping across the Islamic societies, both in the Western world and outside. So even if you look in Europe, in London, in Birmingham, in Germany, in different parts of Europe, you find the same kind of identity crisis. This crisis has on one side extremists, Salafists, Wahhabists, who want to take Islam back to what they think is an ideal world.
Mm-hmm. The caliphate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They envisage that to be the ideal world. And of course, people like me believe that not to be the case. On the other hand, we have extremists of a different sort, what I would call Western copyists, blind copyists of the West, who say, let's drop everything we have as our heritage and let us copy the West. That's what we have to do. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground, an authentic, constructive middle ground. The reason why it doesn't exist is because of despotism, because of dictatorships. And unfortunately, the West and the United States in its leadership has consistently supported dictators in the Near and Middle East,
mm-hmm.
in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait. The war to free Kuwait simply led to the reestablishment of the Emir of Kuwait.
Yes.
In Egypt,
mm-hmm.
The U.S. pays, as far as I know, several billion dollars a year in support of the regime in Egypt.
It's $3 billion, yes, go ahead.
Yes, a corrupt dictatorship. In the last elections, the Muslim Brotherhood did very well. Why did they do very well in Egypt? Getting over 80 seats from almost nothing. The reason is the so-called president, who happens to be almost a king now, handing over to his son.
Mubarak.
Yes, Mubarak went out of his way to repress any secular opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Islamic world, what we have is, unfortunately, a series of repressive regimes, and this includes Pakistan.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, one time or other has been a democracy, but unfortunately is now a dictatorship again.
Mm-hmm.
And also has the atomic bomb, and also houses Al-Qaeda. And why aren't we putting pressure on these regimes? Why are we supporting the Saudis? Why are we supporting Mubarak? Why are we supporting the Emir of Kuwait?
Well, and those actions, sir, are in direct contravention to the comments, the repeated remarks of George W. Bush about freedom and liberation and democracy. And it really either confuses or just infuriates people on the so-called Arab street.
Exactly. People over there are looking at what is being said, and they are looking at actions, and they see contradictions. They say, well, if democracy is being spread, where is it in Saudi Arabia?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we have these absolutely ludicrous claims recently from the State Department that democracy is being spread in places like Saudi Arabia. Anyone with a rational, fair mind would not agree with that.
Indeed. Let's go to the phones. William from Santa Cruz, you're on the air here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Mogadam.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Professor.
Hello.
I wanted to say, I think that there is kind of a big disappointment, and even to a certain extent Well, it's very unfortunate, Hugo Chavez's remarks about Bush being the devil, because Chavez had a golden opportunity to make a very clear statement about the United States' involvement in trying to overthrow him.
Yes.
It's natural to think that Chavez would consider Bush a devil, considering the meddling of the United States government in Venezuela's internal affairs,
yes.
In the fact that the United States did try to support a coup d'etat against Chavez himself personally. And I think that there's even some, it's not just a wild allegation at this point, I think that there is some substantial proof, if I'm not mistaken, I've heard recent news reports, that there is some objective evidence that the United States was involved. And so...
Well, hold on. The United States clearly supported the people who attempted a coup against Hugo Chavez,
okay.
And we continue to spend at least $5 million a year,
right.
Of State Department money supporting opposition groups in Venezuela. We are meddling in the internal affairs of that country, and we have not indicated any decision to stop that. And I really think that particularly, you know, my friend Nancy Pelosi made remarks yesterday that embarrassed me to refer to him as a thug,
right.
Simply because he decided to use a little humor at the United Nations. If
right.
He'd given one of his stemwinder speeches, the kind that are common in Venezuela, full of passion and his populist approach, it would have been written off. Everybody noticed what Hugo Chavez said at the United Nations on Wednesday. And for my money, I think people should sit back and take a look at the message he's sending and not focus so much on the actual, you know, approach or terminology that he used.
I just wish that he had said something specifically about the United States getting involved in the coup d'etat against him.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he had been specific about that, because now he's in a sense almost distracted from that and played into the hands of some of the critics in the United States who would like nothing more than to label Hugo Chavez, shunt him aside, even...
But they're going to do that anyway. They're going to marginalize him no matter what he does. Let's get a comment from the professor. Go ahead, sir.
Sure.
Well, I must say I'm very sympathetic to the viewpoint of the caller, because I think Chavez missed an opportunity. I was teaching in Venezuela a couple of years ago, and I had a chance to see the climate of the country under Chavez. It reminded me a great deal of the style of leadership that Khomeini had in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Very populist. He can speak for hours and get the rabble going. He
right.
can get the crowds going. He can get everyone going. But the problem is, this kind of leadership, the Khomeini, Chavez type of leadership, tend not to be constructive. They tend to be always against something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really not happy that he's in charge, because he's not a constructive person. And I do think he missed an opportunity at the United Nations to put forward specific policies, specific ways of moving ahead, rather than entering into the name-calling that the Bush administration has already shown it can do.
I get your point, and I do understand it. My thought is that he could have given a policy speech and it would have been written off, and instead he got the attention of the world, and outside of the United States, I think what he had to say played very well. Professor, we'll take a break and return to talk about your metaphor of the staircase to terrorism. We're talking with Fatali Mogadam. He's a professor of psychology at Georgetown University and the author of the new book, From the Terrorist's Point of View. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Does Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. 9 minutes away from the hour. As we continue our conversation with Professor Fatali Mogadam, he is a professor of psychology at Georgetown, and as we've mentioned, his powerful new book is called From the Terrorist's Point of View, What They Experience and Why They Come to Destroy. And, Professor, I think it's an interesting companion to Michael Scheuer's book, Through Our Enemy's Eyes. And, you know, this is a politically incorrect approach to be trying to understand those who we believe attacked us on September 11th of 2001. I imagine if Donald Rumsfeld picked up your book, he'd say, oh, you're one of those people who wants to give therapy to the terrorists.
Well, it is maybe politically incorrect, but I think this approach that I am taking is the one that will be effective in defeating terrorism. First of all, we have to come down to a very clear idea of what terrorism is and how it arises. You know, we can get into all kinds of debates about what exactly is a terrorist, into the old debate about one person's terrorist being another person's freedom fighter. But first, we must agree that terrorism does exist. If somebody straps a bomb onto themselves and goes into a crowd of civilians and blows themselves up and kills 30 civilians, well, it seems to me it doesn't matter if the person is motivated by religion or politics or is sent there by a state or a private organization, that person is a terrorist.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that. It is the weapon of those who have very few weapons in their arsenals. And that part I do understand. Likewise, the flip side of that is that you really cannot defeat terrorists or terrorism with massive military might.
Absolutely, and you can't defeat them by trying to focus on individuals either, because we know from good research, solid cases, that terrorists are not psychologically abnormal. They do not suffer from illiteracy or low education, and they don't come from economically deprived backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Those basic premises are simply wrong.
Now, in your book, you cite, and this is fairly common knowledge, that Al-Qaeda has three goals: to get the U.S. and covert U.S. forces out of Muslim lands, to stop our support for Israel, and to end our support and manipulation of corrupt puppet regimes, as you discussed, from Egypt to Saudi Arabia and in many other places. If we actually did that, would Al-Qaeda say, oh, never mind, we're going to call off the jihad?
No, because Al-Qaeda is a reaction to what is I described as an identity crisis in the Islamic world. And I think it's useful to bring in the staircase metaphor at
mm-hmm.
this point.
Please, go ahead.
Think about a staircase leading up in a building. The ground floor is where there are hundreds of millions of people, the vast majority of the population. Think about all the Muslims on that ground floor. And most of them are leading very, very dissatisfied lives, because they look around and what they're getting is messages from the West telling them that they have all kinds of rights, all kinds of freedoms. They're getting messages about the consumer life as well as the political life, where there are lots of freedoms. But in their actual world, they have almost no freedoms. And so there is a growing dissatisfaction in the Islamic world with the kind of identity that they have, the kinds of lives they have. Now, what do they do about this? Most of them do nothing. Over 99% do nothing. Some of them are searching for solutions, and they go up the staircase and they search for solutions, and they go to the first floor. And here they're looking for ways, they're trying to open doors, they're looking for spaces, they're looking for ways to fight what they see to be an unfair situation. And in places like Saudi Arabia, it is very difficult. In places like Egypt, Kuwait, it is very difficult. There is corruption, there is despotism, and there are very few doors that will open. And so some people who reach the first floor will keep climbing up. They'll go to the second floor. And on the second floor, they're again looking for solutions, and the only doors that open to them, the only place where they can speak with others, are the mosques. There are no political arenas. There are no social arenas where they can have free speech. The only place they can speak to one another with some confidence that the army won't butt in, the police won't butt in, is the mosque. And in the mosques, there is talk about who is to blame. And typically, what's going on in the mosques is that targets are being selected, and the American regime, of course. America is the regime that is the target, because it seemed to be manipulating everything over there. This may be completely incorrect, but that's their perception.
Mm-hmm.
And another scapegoat is, of course, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I've written in my book that if Israel didn't exist, the despots of the Near and Middle East would have to create an Israel, because they need an Israel to displace their aggression.
Now, Professor, to conclude your staircase metaphor, as individuals climb the winding and darkening staircase, they see fewer and fewer choices, until the only possible outcome is the destruction of others or oneself, or both.
Yes.
And I would posit that Bush has put himself on a similar staircase with declining options as he goes further and you know, time presses forward.
Yes.
And in particular, in this dance with Iran right now, he is limiting his options, and it appears, you know, that he wants to play out the so-called diplomatic card so that he can move to a military option. And he doesn't seem to sincerely want to avoid a conflict, a military exchange with Iran.
Well, this is the great danger that along this staircase, if we think of a metaphor of President Bush and President Ahmadinejad being on this staircase, their regimes going up the staircase, there will be a misstep. There will be some missteps, and catastrophe could ensue, and this would be terrible for America, and this would be terrible for the nearer Middle East. I'm very fearful of what could happen. All kinds of problems could arise. Missiles could be sent for here and there, and there would be economic disaster, political disaster, and many lives would be lost. And you're absolutely right. We are on such a staircase, and we don't quite know where we're going.
I want to thank you for joining us, Professor. It's a fascinating book called From the Terrorist Point of View. We've been talking with Fatali M. Mogadam, and he is a professor of psychology at Georgetown University. Thank you, sir. Coming up next, we're going to talk about military, veterans affairs, and Duncan Hunter's plan to change the rules for chaplains to make a more Christian military. Scott Dick joins us next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Result means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Graphic details of a crime in Iraq.
A Navy corpsman accuses Marines of kidnapping, murder, and cover-up. I'm Steve Futterman at Camp Pendleton.
A White House aide with ties to convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff tenders her resignation. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Seven Marines and a sailor were charged with killing an Iraqi civilian earlier this year. Today, the sailor struck a plea bargain with military prosecutors and testified about what happened.
The incident took place last April. 21-year-old Navy Corpsman Melson Bacos calmly described step-by-step what he saw. He said the original plan was for Marines to kidnap a known terrorist, but when the man wasn't home, they went after someone else. A 52-year-old man, a civilian, was taken from his home. His hands and feet were tied. He was then shot at least 10 times. Corpsman Bacco said after the shooting, Marines placed an AK-47 and shovel near the body to suggest that the dead Iraqi had been planting roadside bombs. Everyone, he said, was told to lie to investigators. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Camp Pendleton, California.
Now this.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
at Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
No.
Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
A top White House aide is the latest casualty of the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal.
A week after being named in a congressional report on the actions of convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff, Susan Ralston has resigned from her job as an assistant to presidential advisor Karl Rove. Ralston was cited in the report as being the most frequent recipient of tickets to sporting events from Abramoff and his team. In fact, she worked for Abramoff before serving at the White House. Her letter of resignation mentions none of this, but a spokeswoman says Ralston wanted to avoid becoming a distraction here. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
With a crucial election looming, Republicans are trying to limit the damage from the Mark Foley email scandal. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss brings us up to date.
As the House Ethics Committee started gathering evidence about who knew what when, and the FBI kept looking to see if Mark Foley's awful emails broke any laws, Republican leaders tried to make up and play nice. The public backstabbing and finger-pointing has slowed, as Republican leaders are mostly uniting now around embattled Speaker Dennis Hastert, hoping all of this won't hurt them too much with the voters. CBS News political analyst Dottie Lynch says it might.
After the week of unrelenting stories, one after another, polls seem to indicate that there has been some damage.
Individual House and Senate races moving in the Democrats' favor, and one poll showing an astounding 80% of Americans have followed this Foley story. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush visiting a FedEx facility in Washington was quick to point out this morning's news from the Labor Department.
National unemployment rate is down to 4.6%. Wages are going up. Energy prices are falling.
Mr. Bush didn't mention that the economy created just 51,000 jobs last month, far fewer than expected. David Weiss is chief economist at Standard & Poor's.
One of the big problems is the continued decline in manufacturing. And the other one, which has popped up this year, is decline in retail trade employment. Retailers just aren't hiring people anymore.
The fifth Amish girl killed in Monday's schoolhouse siege was buried today. Melissa Medley of CBS television affiliate WHP says some Amish have been visiting gunman Charles Roberts' family.
We saw several times yesterday and today Amish leaders and members of the Amish community take time out of their day of grieving, to go to the family of the killer in this case. They delivered baskets of food, offered condolences.
One of the dead girls did something heroic in her final moments. According to a younger sister who was wounded, 13-year-old Marion Fisher asked Roberts to shoot her first, apparently hoping to give the younger girls a chance to survive. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
No.
Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
A cloud of chlorine gas. And we launch into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Progressive talk from the left coast.
You came up on me like it last night. Once in a while, I get bigger like that, and I like it.
All right, Bob, we're in a hurry. Can you get to the... chorus, please. Thank you. Oh, no, no, no. He's going to sing another verse. Here we go. Thank you, Bob. Your
going to get what's coming. That's Robert Palmer's tune. And it struck me that America's torture policy is, yeah, those nasty terrorists are going to get what's coming. And it doesn't matter what international standards are, whether our policies debase the United States and invite enemies to do the same to our captives or detainees. And one of the, in my view, little discussed aspects of our torture policy is the required complicity of medical specialists, nurses, doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, in the actual practice of intense interrogations that I call torture. And there's a powerful new book out. It's in hardcover. It's called Oath Betrayed, Torture, Medical Complicity, and the War on Terror. Its author, Dr. Stephen Miles, joins us this hour. He's an expert in medical ethics, human rights, and international health care. He is a practicing medical doctor, and he served as the chief medical officer for a Cambodian refugee camp, worked on AIDS prevention in Sudan, tsunami relief in Indonesia, and he's worked with the research committee of the Center for Victims of Torture. Dr. Miles, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's absolutely a pleasure to be talking to you.
Can I thank you for a powerful book and for the tone of the book, because your anger comes through on many pages.
Yeah, you know, actually, people have had different views on that. Some people say it's too cool and measured, and other people say it's too hot and bothered. So, I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm not a member of your profession, but I respect that you hold yourself and your colleagues to a high standard, and you are seeing that eroded through America's practices and policies in the so-called war on terror.
Yeah, we have to be accountable because, you know, docs are really the frontline human rights monitors. For any prison in the world, we are there when the Red Cross isn't. We can get to any part of the prison. And even if we don't see the abuses, we get to see the signs of the abuses, and we're trained to recognize it, even when the abuse is crafted to be concealed. And so there, it's just plain amazing that we didn't blow the whistle on this.
Yeah. And we'll come back to the issues of medical ethics and the role that medical professionals have been forced to play, and perhaps some have done it voluntarily in recent years. Your book does a great job of detailing the history of torture and the history of America's involvement, flirtation, with these harsh interrogation tactics. And first and foremost, your opinion, sir, does torture work?
Well, it's fascinating, actually. Torture's been extensively researched. The U.S. did about 200 studies in the post-World War II up and through the mid-70s. Israel did a bunch of studies. Britain did a bunch of studies with regard to IRA people. And I presume, you know, the East, you know, behind the Iron Curtain, they did studies, too, except we don't have the results. Torture doesn't work. It gets bad information. And it's been well established it gets bad information. A classic piece was the piece of information that said that Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda were cooperating on bioweapons. We took a guy off to Egypt. We tortured him there under our outsourcing program. And he came up with that piece of work that was used at the UN to create the permission for us to go into Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And then President Bush used it in his State of the Union address. And it's just flat out not true.
The most compelling testimony I've heard to that point, Doctor, is from Phil Butler. He is a listener of this program. He lives in the Monterey area. He spent more time than John McCain at the Hanoi Hilton. And he came on our program one day, and I was moved almost to the point of tears by his description of the treatment, the very harsh treatment that he received, the efforts to get him to spill information. And so at a certain point, when the pain became too great, he said, okay, I'm going to talk. And one of the questions was, they wanted to know who the commander of the naval fleet in the Pacific was at the time that Phil Butler was taken into captivity. And I don't remember his exact answer. answer, but it was to the equivalent of McHale or Gomer Pyle or something like that.
Yeah.
And the interrogators dutifully wrote it down and I'm sure sent that information up the line. And likewise, we heard the president in the incredible speeches that he has given lately try to suggest to Americans that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is designated as the mastermind of 9/11, and who we have now learned was in the gulags in Eastern Europe and was recently shipped to Guantanamo Bay. Bush wants us to believe that he still has information that we can torture out of him that could save American lives. Now, that guy's been in our custody for 4 years. Anybody who knows anything about the way the terror cells work and the chain of command, the decision-making, the way, you know, cells are operated independently and with, you know, blind attribution, has to suspect that this guy's information could not be of any value whatsoever.
Well, I think that's true, and you know, one of the real tragedies here is that we have our guys over in Iraq and our women too, and I was recently talking to a Marine intelligence official who worked over there, and he was there for 2 years, and he said one of the really big problems is that we are getting this information under torture, and then what we are doing is we are sending our troops out on these very dangerous wild goose chases, essentially chasing bad information that we've pulled out by force.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, the other thing that's always trotted out is this idea of a ticking time bomb.
Right.
All right. We intercept a suspect who knows about an action that is imminent. And the idea is that somehow, by violating our own standards of humanity and human rights, that we could get a person like that who is likely to be a fanatic and, you know, very committed to keeping concealed the information that he or she has, that somehow we could torture them enough that they would cough this up in time for us to get the damsel off the railroad tracks before the train comes through. I'm thinking in cartoons here.
Right.
And it really just defies reality. Because
it does defy reality, and also I've personally chased down every ticking time bomb story that the government has, and none of them stand up. For example, there was this guy who we said was part of a plot to put bombs on seven Trans-Pacific airliners that would then blow up en route from the Philippines to the United States, and we claimed that we were able to avert that plot at the last minute because of ticking time bomb scenario. In fact, that information was found on his laptop when he was picked up, and the information that he gave under abusive interrogation was simply false. In Israel, the Israeli security forces wanted to get legal permission to use torture, and they went to the Israeli Supreme Court, which has the power to authorize that. And the Supreme Court said to the Israeli security forces, bring us a case. Clean it up so that there's no national security interest here. We want to see one good case of how this ticking time bomb thing works in practice. And the Israeli security forces could not come up with one case, and so therefore torture is illegal in Israel today.
Mm-hmm. And tell me your thoughts about Alan Dershowitz, the headline-seeking attorney and law professor from Harvard, who articulated a plan early in the post-9/11 period that if we're going to torture people, we ought to legalize it and, you know, operate it according to standards and a law. Now, I never interviewed Dershowitz regarding that, so I don't know if his tongue was in cheek and he was simply trying to say, I'm opposed to torture, and if this administration is going to do it, I want it out in the open, or if it was a thoughtful concept on the part of Dershowitz and that he really meant it. What's your take?
Well, he's very serious about this, but the irony is that torture warrants have been used in every society that has tortured going back at least 500 years, that the essence of torture has always been to develop careful legal procedures to channel it. And what's so interesting is that all of these procedures are broken down. There's no way to channel torture once it gets unleashed. And it's hard for me to understand why Dershowitz, who's a very bright guy, seems unable to read the historic record on this.
Mm-hmm.
ticking time bomb scenario doesn't work. Torture warrants don't work. And in fact, what happens when societies embark on torture is they destroy civil liberties and they destroy civil society, which is, after all, our primary policy objective to promote.
Indeed. We're going to take a break and return with Dr. Stephen H. Miles. His book is Oath Betrayed. If you have a question or comment on the debate over torture policy in this country or the legacy of what we've done so far, I invite your calls. Dr. Miles with us for the entire hour, so grab a line and we will talk at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at Moore Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by Moore Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 91 Mercedes 500 SL, pearl black with light gray leather, 73,000 original miles. This two-owner car comes with both tops, chrome wheels, and CD changer. Specially priced this week, only $18,988.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay Area. Problems in Santa Cruz right now. Southbound along Highway 17, right at Highway 1. It's an accident off to the right-hand shoulder. A vehicle was hit by debris that fell off a pickup truck. That means more debris could be on the highway. Use extra caution. Off the freeway system in Watsonville, Browns Valley Road at Avocado Road, an injury crash here, a solo vehicle crash. And taking a look at the Hollister area, San Juan Hollister Road at Union Road, a three-vehicle crash. A little tangled up there. No injuries involved. Also on Prunedale, Castrovel Boulevard at San Miguel Canyon Road. It's a car fire. The pickup truck on fire is in a field, though, so no lanes are blocked. This look brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, and on approved credit, you'll make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands at discount prices every day. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
We'll be right back.
continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with doctor and author Stephen Miles from the University of Minnesota. His new book is called Oath Betrayed, Torture, Medical Complicity, and the War on Terror. It's a powerful indictment of the Bush policies. And it exposes the connivance, participation of medical professionals in the torture process itself. If you have a question or comment, you're welcome to participate. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Well, I would say the road to hell might take you through Guantanamo Bay, Abu Ghraib, or one of the other detention centers operated by the CIA or the U.S. military. We're learning more about what occurred at Bagram in Afghanistan, and there's still some murky information about detention centers in Eastern Europe that have now been emptied. Those detainees have been sent to Guantanamo Bay, according to the president.
Well, that's not true. I'm sorry.
Thank you for... Go ahead and correct me. I don't mind
actually,
at all.
On the rendition program, we have somewhere between 200 and 350 prisoners, and the president brought 14 to Guantanamo, so we've got somewhere around at least 200 who are unaccounted for.
Okay. And have we identified any of the other detention centers? Bulgaria has been mentioned.
It's very clear that, these centers open and close a great deal, so it's hard to keep track. But we know that Uzbekistan, Egypt, Pakistan, Thailand, the Philippines, at one time, and maybe now, Morocco, possibly Kosovo. So they've been pretty much widely spread. Oh, and Syria.
Yeah, I was just going to mention the torture timeshare in Syria.
Yep.
We outsourced that in the case of Maher Arar, the Canadian, which was documented in the Canadian Commission's report issued on Monday, makes that very clear. Dr. Miles, I want to turn to Chapter 3 of your book. You open with the anecdote of an individual named Monadel al-Jamadi.
Right.
And on November 4th, 2003, American Navy SEAL Team 7 went to his home in Baghdad, and they shackled him, flipped him into the back of a Humvee, beat, kicked, and sat on him during the short ride to an army base. Then he was taken to Camp Jenny Pazzi. There he was threatened, interrogated in what is called the romper room as a medic watched. And ultimately, he complained he was dying, and they didn't believe him. They said, "You wish you'd be dying." And in fact, he did die in their custody.
Right. He got taken. He was beaten and kicked in the back of these Humvees as he went around Baghdad, and he actually got hit on the side of the head with a rifle butt, and he had a couple ribs broken too. So when he got to Abu Ghraib in the early hours of the morning, he was pretty badly beaten up, and he was naked. He was his head was in a sandbag, and they took him into a shower room and tied his arms behind his back, and then ran a cord from his back of his arms up to a window, set of window bars behind him, so that if his knees buckled, his shoulders would be wrenched backwards out of their sockets. He still had his head in a sandbag at that time, and about an hour later, while he was being interrogated, his knees did buckle. The interrogator called for the MPs to come in and tighten the cord to force him to stand up because they felt he was being non-cooperative. The guards couldn't stand him up, and so they determined actually then that he was dead. He was then put in a body bag which was filled with ice. And while CIA and Army were fighting over who'd killed this guy. And the next morning, a medic came in and stuck an IV in his arm, and they wheeled him out on a gurney as if he just had a heart attack, and that's what they told people he'd had.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happened was that the body was, an autopsy was done by the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology way back in November of 2003, and they found that he died of trauma, but they sat on this autopsy and it never got out.
Is this the guy they gave three death certificates to?
No, that was another one.
Different case, yeah.
Yeah, and so what happened then, we see this body packed in ice when the Abu Ghraib pictures came out. Now, if the pathologists had done their job and promptly released that death certificate, as they were required to do by the Geneva Accords, we would have had an early warning sign that something had gone seriously wrong in that prison.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept quiet.
Now, Dr. Miles, in your book, you go further than anybody I've seen to date in establishing the real culpability for the policies that permitted these kinds of abuses to occur. And the for the public record, we have a few bad apples, you know, Ivan Frederick and, you know, a handful of others who've been convicted. And Colonel Pappas, I guess, accepted some kind of censure or reprimand. But Jeffrey Miller, the general who was sent to Abu Ghraib to Gitmoize it, and after his arrival, these activities took place. He was permitted at one point to take essentially the Fifth Amendment. Then they required him to testify. But beyond that, he has not really been held accountable for this policy, has he?
No, none of the major players have been held accountable for this policy for several reasons. First off, the military has a rule that in order to be indicted, you have to be indicted by a superior officer. And so by structuring these investigations so that they're done by two-star generals, they essentially confine responsibility to one-star general, such as General Karpinski, who was in charge of the Abu Ghraib prison.
Right.
And she was the highest-ranking person to get a career sanction. But all of the more senior personnel, like the head of the Iraq theater, like General Miller, are two-star generals, and so they can't be prosecuted by the military because the military won't allocate a superior general to go after them.
That's convenient.
It's very convenient. Now, the other thing that's important to note is that nobody has gone after the culpability for the senior defense and Department of Justice people. Who...
Well, let's take a break, and then we'll talk about Rumsfeld and the folks at the Pentagon and their role in the torture policy. That's coming up next. And we'll get to your phone calls, too, so hold on if you're on the line. Dr. Stephen Miles is our guest. His book is called Oath Betrayed. It's out in hardcover from Random House. It's a very powerful indictment of the Bush administration and their conduct of these interrogation procedures. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Hurricane Hugo hits the White House. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez did his stand-up routine at the UN yesterday, calling President Bush the devil and saying he smelled like sulfur, which was hurtful enough. But then he accused Mr. Bush of talking as if he owned the world. And the delegates erupted, gave him a curtain call. I decided to go back to the archives and check, because I don't like hearing my president criticized, especially by a guy like Chavez, who, according to the U.S. State Department, limits press freedom, abuses detainees, and wiretaps without warrants. So I went back into the archives to see if George Bush does talk like he owns the world. Roll it.
Once again, we are called to defend the safety of our people and the hopes of all mankind. And we accept this responsibility.
See, he's not saying we own the world, just that we are responsible for the hopes of all mankind.
We're changing the world. And the world will be better off, and America will be more secure as a result of the actions we're taking.
We're changing the world. It's a remodel, not a teardown.
Freedom is the Almighty's gift to every man and woman in this world. And as the greatest power on the face of the earth, we have an obligation to help the spread of freedom.
Okay, well, that's a little proprietary.
America will not impose our own style of government on the unwilling. Our goal, instead, is to help others find their own voice, attain their own freedom.
See, we're not telling you what to do. We merely suggest. And you know, Hugo, if people like you would just sell us the oil and shut up, we'd get along just fine.
Now this.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I make the 8-pound Orrick XL Hotel Vacuum. It's so powerful, it vacuums hotels around the globe, from Texas to Tokyo, from Montreal to Munich. And now you can take the Orrick Challenge and try my 8-pound Orrick Hotel Vacuum risk-free for 15 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Why anybody would want to use any other vacuum is Greek to me.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching each show.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Al on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation.
Listen to broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks as he is joined by Health Crusader Lisa LaRose and Western Feng Shui Master Ann Christie for One Wisdom, a program designed to bring you conversations that invoke your creativity, playfulness, and well-being. Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. At Abu Ghraib at Guantanamo Bay, were medical professionals required to participate in the interrogation procedures that crossed the line to torture? And did any of them yell fire?
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build you tomorrow. Free peace, and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to this hammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas.
That's Michael Fronte and Spearhead, the title song from the new CD. It's called Yell Fire. And it's true that you're not supposed to yell fire in a crowded theater, but you should yell fire when human lives are at risk or when things are going on that cross the ethical, moral line. We're talking with Dr. Stephen H. Miles. His new book is called Oath Betrayed, subtitled Torture, Medical Complicity, and the War on Terror. And he's a medical doctor and a professor at the University of Minnesota. And Dr. Miles, what is your sense of the role that medical professionals have played, and have they tried to challenge the policies of General Miller and all the way up the line to Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld?
Well, American medicine has been aggressive against torture in other countries, but we were entirely caught unprepared for this. And if one looks at the role of the American Medical Association, for example, they basically sat on their hands for the first year and a half of this scandal, and indeed before that, because everybody knew this was going on, but nobody wanted to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And in your view, did Rumsfeld design this policy and personally approve it?
There's no question Rumsfeld designed it. He wrote a first policy, then he hired a working group to refine it, and then he signed off on it. He wrote, as he did that, that he knew this policy violated the Geneva Accords. Furthermore, he was informed by his own Defense Department experts, even as he was signing off on it, that torture just plain didn't work.
And yet he's managed to wriggle out of any real responsibility for it. Is that the deniability process where, you know, they set it up so that only lower people are held responsible?
No, I don't think so. Rumsfeld's cleanly got his hands all over this. Those documents are readily available. I think what will happen here ultimately is that the European human rights community will bring a subpoena or an indictment against him, as they did against Pinochet, and the Pinochet indictment really resulted in the end of Pinochet's historical reputation and triggered us eventually his trial. Now, we've seen this with regard to Secretary of State Kissinger, who really is severely limited in his travel because of an indictment against him that's been raised in Chile. And I think that we're going to see an indictment or subpoena filed against Rumsfeld very shortly after he leaves office. Now, whether or not it comes to trial, I think, is actually not so important. The mere fact that this is out there will do an enormous amount to reestablishing the credibility of these extremely important human rights standards.
Let's take some calls. First up, Ben from Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. I'm going to try to intelligently get this question out. I'm directing this very directed at those that are angry with Hugo Chavez's comments and those that are supporting Mr. Bush. This is my question. By the great Homeland Gestapo supercomputer, let's say you have been anonymously called a terrorist. Now, one of the tactics they use is they torture children in front of parents. Okay, you and your children, your daughter and your son have been taken to one of these new concentration camps that already exist. Okay, you're taken in this place where you know you're going to be tortured, waterboarded or however, or maybe your children. In one room, you see Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Bush, and in the other room, you see Clinton, Gore, and Carter. Now, which room, and I'm directing this at you Republican Bush lovers out there, you're going to go into one of those rooms and you're going to be tortured, or maybe your kids. Which room would you choose to go in and why? And please have the guts to call this gentleman and this doctor, these good Americans, and give them your answer. I'm dying to hear it. And thank you, Peter. I've said enough.
All right, Ben. Thank you for that question. We'll see if anybody steps up to answer. John in Carmel Valley, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Stephen Miles.
Yes, Dr. Miles, I heard you about 2 months ago on a program I never expected to even encounter. I was just fishing through the AM dial, and I heard you on KMJ in Fresno. You were with a host, Ian Punnett, who I was unfamiliar with. It was some coast-to-coast live thing. I was incredibly heartened by what you had to say, but disheartened by some of the callers, and I want to know if you remember one in particular, a doctor who insisted that he would, without question, engage in torture, using that argument that the right especially adheres to, that if it meant saving lives, he would, without any hesitation, engage in torture.
Was that Dr. Mengele?
Well, it could have been. He didn't give his name. But
all right, John, hold on. Go ahead, Dr. Miles.
Well, I think that this is a very interesting thing, because what torture does, it does not save lives. What torture does is it destroys civil society. And that's why torture is targeted, usually in countries, against its intelligentsia, against labor unions, teachers, journalists, and so forth. And when we recently went to try and protect a very brave lawyer who's a dissident in China and invoke the Geneva Conventions and ask China to assure that he got medical care, China basically told us, you've got to be kidding. Who are you to invoke the Geneva Conventions for us when you have introduced into the world stage the principle that a national executive, with the assent of the legislature, can abolish the Geneva Accords on the basis of national necessity? And so that we have taken apart a key way of promoting civil society around the world, which is enormously dangerous to us. That doc was a nutcase.
I just want to compliment you again. You are one of, I don't have a lot of heroes, but you are one of them.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the call. And Dr. Miles, while we're crediting other radio shows, I learned about you and your book from a show in San Francisco called Conversations on the Coast with my friend Jim Foster.
Yeah, I've had a lot of good calls outside of the Midwest, and I must say that radio is an incredibly powerful media, and we should not take for granted radio, or we should not take for granted things like the Freedom of Information Act, which makes this kind of research possible.
Indeed. Your next caller is Dave from Humboldt County. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter and Dr. Miles. I have been drawing a generalized conclusion that I'd like to share with you here, and that is that I think this neocon faction in our White House, to include Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rove, Condoleezza, there is within them a generalized anger, a contempt towards the have-nots, the less fortunate. They see them as the enemy. They are indeed gratified by inflicting harm, pain, if they can cause them to be homeless, cold, hungry, without medical care. There's some payoff in it for them. It's also totally consistent that torturing people is a way of dealing with this generalized anger that they have about them. That's my theory, and so I throw it out there.
All right, Dr. Miles?
Well, I think that, you know, we've not made our world better by pursuing this policy. In Iraq, one of the things that happened when the Abu Ghraib pictures came out, we went from 75% of the Iraq population supporting our presence there and the mission there down to 20%. We basically destroyed ourselves as the potential for being a political midwife for any kind of civil society in Iraq. We simply cannot, as a country, nor can the West Bloc generally, alienate half the world's population and see that as a strategic political goal or solution. It's an extremely unstable situation that we've gotten ourselves into because of very unwise foreign policy.
Indeed. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Miles from the University of Minnesota. The book is called Oath Betrayed. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, you can still talk with Dr. Miles. He's with us till the top of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's 888-573-8372. Dr. Miles, I've been deeply offended, and it's kind of shaken my sense of what it means to be an American. To see this ongoing debate, as last year the president challenged John McCain, they compromised, and then Bush signed the bill, the defense appropriation bill that included the McCain amendment, and issued a signing statement saying that he'll follow it when he wants to. And this year we've had Bush and Cheney actively trying to twist arms on Capitol Hill to jam through policies that they say, you know, provide the required clarity. So our professionals who are doing the, you know, amped up interrogations know exactly where the law is so that they can stay on this side of it. I view that as a disingenuous and insulting argument by the president, because what he really wants is the freedom to continue to torture certain individuals, you know, as he sees fit. And the way the laws are written, there's no habeas corpus right in either the more moderate McCain version or the White House version. I understand they've now compromised, and there's still no habeas corpus language there. And the specter of this bargaining going on over the tawdry concepts of torture, which we agree is, you know, an ineffective approach that only lowers us to the level of barbarism. How do you react to this debate and the way the president has conducted it?
Well, here I guess I take issue with some of my friends. I think that, first off, the Geneva Accords and the Convention Against Torture are not ours to amend. And so every nation that embarks on torture, every torturing society, always creates laws to justify torture. Frankly, we don't have the authority to modify these conventions. These conventions and this international law belongs to the global community. And indeed, at the end of World War II, when the Geneva Conventions were made, in the face of Nazism, and in the face of the terrible torture that was inflicted by the Japanese on their prisoners of war, the world community came together and said no appeal to national sovereignty will allow for this type of mistreatment of prisoners. It is a crime now and forevermore. And so we can't modify these. And we or our nation will be held historically accountable, and hopefully the perpetrators of these abuses will be held actually accountable in some sort of court of world opinion and perhaps even judgment.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and return with Dr. Stephen Miles, and there's room for your call at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll take more calls in the next segment. And coming up next hour, we'll kick off the Free Speech Zone with Rabbi Julie Sachs Taller, one of 300 rabbis who have issued a call for peace. We'll talk about that and take more of your calls straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Katie Couric. CBS News and I are so excited that 5:40 a.m. will be airing my notebook every weekday at 6:04 p.m. I'll be sharing my thoughts about politics, culture, and life in general with Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz right here on KRXA 5:40 a.m. So join me, Katie Couric, for Katie's Notebook right after the Peter B. Collins Show and CBS News at 6:04 in the evening from Monday through Friday on KRXA 5:40 a.m.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Coming soon, Sundays 3 to 5.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join Golf Pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. Still problems in Santa Cruz southbound Highway 17 at Highway 1. An accident off to the right-hand shoulder. Vehicle was hit by debris that fell off a pickup truck, so debris is still an issue in the area. In Hollister, San Juan Hollister Road at Union Road, three vehicles tangled up in a crash. In Prunedale, a problem. Castroville Boulevard at San Miguel Canyon Road, it's a car fire. This pickup truck fully engulfed, but he's off to the shoulder of the road, so no highway lanes are blocked. Latest problems, though, in SoCal for 41st Avenue. That's okay. Kell Drive, an accident there. It's just been reported. This look is brought to you by Safeway and Healthy Choice. Want to throw a football at the Cal Stanford game for $500,000? Use your Safeway Club card to buy Healthy Choice products through September 26th for your chance to win. Now, no purchases necessary. See store for official rules. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
You now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We've got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble.
Mission accomplished.
In a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
That's Yikes McGee from Baltimore. We continue now with Dr. Stephen Miles. His new book is a powerful indictment of the Bush administration's detention and interrogation policies. I call them torture. It's called Oath Betrayed, Torture, Medical Complicity, and the War on Terror. And Dr. Miles, with your indulgence, I want to read two separate parts from your book. One is a memo that Rumsfeld signed regarding interrogation and the roles of clinicians. He said, first, the use of isolation as an interrogation technique requires detailed implementation instructions, including medical and psychological review. Second, application of these interrogation techniques is subject to the following general safeguards. The detainee is medically and operationally evaluated as suitable. And third, the secretary required reasonable safeguards, including the presence or availability of qualified military personnel. Now, earlier in the book, you cite the American College of Physicians Code, which is, under no circumstances is it ethical for a physician to be used as an instrument of government to weaken the physical or mental resistance of a human being, nor should a physician participate in or tolerate cruel or unusual punishment or disciplinary activities beyond those permitted by the United Nations standard minimum rules for the treatment of prisoners. The doctor's fundamental role is to alleviate the distress of his or her fellow men, and no motive, whether personal, collective, or political, shall prevail against this higher purpose. So we have medical professionals in a pickle, and some apparently refused CIA orders recently, and some CIA interrogators pushed back, which caused in part the need to amend, or at least a desire to amend, American policy. What is your resolution moving forward in how we can protect medical professionals from being drawn into these unethical practices?
Well, number one, it just requires fortitude. My friends who work in countries where there's torture face incredibly grave risks. Dr. Uzun in Turkey, for example, he was reporting on torture on people who came out of police stations. They took him to jail. They beat him. They beat him with a hose. They waterboarded him. They raped him with a Coke bottle. They destroyed his office. He gets out of jail. He says, I'm going to continue to stand by the Hippocratic Oath. No American military professional faced any risks like that. They didn't face the fact of going into the very system that they would have stood up against.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing we need to do is we need an independent investigation, almost something like a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, independently chartered with the power of subpoena, and we need a radical declassification of the prison documents, which do not bear on national security, but in fact only bear on very embarrassing and shameful acts committed by our government.
Well, if Bush impaneled such a group, wouldn't he put Kissinger in charge?
Well, I don't think that it's going to be Bush to impanel. I think that it will be done as a part of a future historical project, perhaps, and hopefully by the next administration.
Well, I do agree with you conceptually, because we've got to find a way to communicate to the world that the American people reject the actions at Abu Ghraib and elsewhere as much as the victims do.
Well, I think actually we're seeing that. Right after the pictures came out, they kind of flashed, and then it kind of died down a bit. But what we've seen since then is a gradual mobilization of support and an understanding on the part of the American people and, more importantly, or equally importantly, in the military themselves, realizing what a wrong turn this has been.
Yeah.
And I think that the mere fact that you've got this kickback coming from the right is basically a recognition on the part of the American public that we just have to reject this policy.
Next, we go to Gary in Santa Cruz. Hello, Gary. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Stephen Miles.
Hi. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Yeah. My question for Dr. Miles is, it seems to me that the Geneva Conventions, it's little more than structured terrorism. And if you're in a room with a real brutal man, what recourse do you have?
Tell me what you mean that the Geneva Conventions are structured terrorism.
If you're arrested for something, you can lawyer up, but you can't do that. I don't know what the process is. I have no idea.
All right, Dr. Miles.
Yeah, well, I think people very much underestimate the power of the Geneva Conventions. We have used the Geneva Conventions to secure visitation rights, medical examinations, and even the release of prisoners around the world. We have lost the ability to do that. And that includes on behalf of our own soldiers who are taken POW.
Right.
So the Geneva Conventions are actually a form of appeal to law which can be used both by governments and by human rights organizations such as Amnesty International to mount pressure on abusive imprisoning authorities. The Geneva Conventions and the Convention Against Torture don't simply prohibit torture. They prohibit coercive methods to obtain any information.
Mm-hmm.
The old, you remember on the old TV shows they used to say name, rank, and serial number?
Right.
That is what is a prisoner is required to give, and the Geneva Conventions ban coercion beyond obtaining that information. And so I think that we in the United States, because we are a society where most of the population never sees torture, don't understand how enormously destructive torture is, not simply to the individuals who are imprisoned and beaten, but also to the very possibility of democratic reform in those societies.
Mm-hmm. Next, we go to Joe in Monterey. Hello, Joe. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Fascinating program. Wanted to ask Dr. Miles, way back when the Abu Ghraib thing first, when CBS was pressured not to release the information on the abuse of prisoners, shortly after that, the president was requested to talk to the president of the International Red Cross,
right.
And he came with not just Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, but he actually had two dozen locations where they had found abuse violating the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, let me comment.
And that evening, President Bush was giving a speech, a national speech, and said he couldn't discuss it with him. And so instead,
all right, Joe, just hold there because we only have a minute. Go ahead, Dr. Miles.
Yeah, I think what's so interesting about this is it's not Abu Ghraib. Basically, we've got a coherent system of policies that are identical throughout at least 20 sites in Iraq, plus Guantanamo, plus at least a half a dozen in Afghanistan that I'm aware of. And so that this is not a thing that is just into one area.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dr. Miles, about 30 seconds. Your final comments, please.
It's very important for you all to write your congressman and get this deal done to uphold the letter of the Geneva Conventions, and we should all engage on this as probably the most important human rights activity we can engage in right now.
Thank you very much, and I would only add to that we need to demand habeas corpus protection for these individuals as well. Thank you very much, Dr. Miles. The book is Oath Betrayed. It's out in hardcover from Random House, and it's a powerful book. Thank you very much. Sir.
Thank you.
Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. We'll kick it off with Rabbi Julie Sachs Taller. She is putting out a plea with 300 other rabbis for peace here at Rosh Hashanah. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
A sailor who testified against seven Marines today has been sentenced for his role in the killing of an innocent Iraqi. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is at Camp Pendleton, California.
Milson Bacos entered pleas of guilty to two counts, kidnapping and conspiracy. In a statement made in open court, the 21-year-old petty officer said, "I have no excuse for my immorality." When it came down to sentencing, the judge's hands were pretty much tied. The judge sentenced Bacos to 10 years in prison, but under terms of a pre-trial agreement, Bacos will only serve 1 year. The rest of the sentence will be suspended. Earlier, Bacos described for the court what he saw last April. He accused Marines of kidnapping and killing a 52-year-old Iraqi man, a civilian, then trying to cover it up by suggesting that the man was planting roadside bombs. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Camp Pendleton, California.
The Minnesota Twins are done till next year. Today in Oakland, they lost their third straight game to the A's.
The 2-2 pitch, a fly ball to left. This is going to do it. Dave Payne is there. He makes the catch. The A's are moving on.
A's announcer Ken Korok. Next week, they'll start a series with either the Detroit Tigers or the New York Yankees for the American League pennant. The Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal reached into the White House today. Susan Ralston, an aide to political strategist Karl Rove, resigned, saying she didn't want to be a distraction. Congressional investigators found that Ralston, who once worked for Abramoff, had frequent contacts with him in her West Wing job, often accepted tickets from Abramoff for concerts and sports events. CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borgia has the latest on the Mark Foley email scandal.
Today, New Jersey's Republican Senate candidate Tom Kaine threw Hastert overboard, publicly calling for his resignation. But most Republicans from the very top down are simply trying to get back to their issues.
Today we got more good news. National unemployment rate is down to 4.6%.
Democrats, for a change, are all speaking the same language. From their House campaign chairman...
You cannot change Washington unless you change the people you send to Washington.
Who knew? To ads they're running against Republican incumbents.
You want change in Washington? Then change the people you send.
The president accented the positive on the economy, not mentioning that the economy created just 51,000 jobs last month, a weak performance. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports there's some encouraging news about the federal deficit.
The government spent $250 billion more in the past year than it took in, a huge deficit that had to be borrowed, but still a big drop from the past few years, and far less than was predicted just a few months ago. The Congressional Budget Office says the improvement didn't come so much from spending less, but because there's more tax revenue coming in. That's because the economy's doing better, companies are making bigger profits, so they're paying more taxes.
The Dow down 16 points today to finish the week at 11,850. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar emergency.
A woman just struck me. I have daycare charge in my car.
Okay, I have you located on Ashley.
Yes, ma'am.
And there are injuries.
Sheriff.
If your airbags deploy, OnStar receives a signal and can call to check on you.
Sheriff's office.
Hi, this is Holly calling from OnStar. I have a vehicle crash with airbag deployment with injuries on Ashley.
I have multiple children in my car. My own daughter is hurt. I think my arm is broken.
We'll get police and rescue on the way.
Okay. Bye. I need you to stay calm.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
I can hear sirens in the background.
I have a police car in front of me. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
When Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, many people had no way to bring their pets along when they were evacuated. Now there's a law to address that problem. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
In what sounds like a political appeal to animal lovers, President Bush signed legislation providing for the evacuation of pets during emergencies. The Pets Evacuation Act requires state and local emergency preparedness authorities to accommodate household pets in their evacuation plans. Those plans must be submitted to FEMA in order to qualify for federal grants. Supporters of the new law call it an important step toward ensuring that Americans will never again be forced to leave their pets behind when fleeing a disaster. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Latinos were invited to the White House today as Mr. Bush observed Hispanic Heritage Month. He told them the illegal immigration problem can't be solved with mass deportations. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Some people think all insurance is the same.
They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano, I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, media critic Rory O'Connor will join us. We'll talk about some of the political ads and internet activities supporting political campaigns this fall. But first up, former CIA analyst Mel Goodman joins us in just a second.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Somebody really drowned. We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground. We're just trying to be greedy. And into Bush, Cheney, and DeLay.
Yeah, we just passed a new bill recently for people with no brains. I think anybody who voted for that piece of legislation in the Senate yesterday appears to be brain dead or brainless. Let's get some commentary from Mel Goodman. He served for more than 25 years as an analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency, and he's been a guest on our program on many previous occasions. Hello, Mel.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm a little discouraged, I have to say.
It's getting rather unbelievable.
I lived through Nixon, I lived through Reagan, and I thought I had seen some of the darkest days in America in my lifetime. And so I guess I thought I was prepared. And to me, this vote yesterday, which is enabling, authorizing, and produces amnesty for the president and everybody down the line who participated in any kind of law-breaking or, the torture efforts, the unlawful detention of the detainees. We haven't even gotten to the NSA wiretapping bill yet. But it's just breathtaking to me that after the Supreme Court told the president he didn't have a blank check, Congress said, well, let's print one up for him.
Exactly. And the three Republicans who thought they were carving out a deal caved in on just about every major point. And frankly, I thought Senator John McCain was made of stricter and stronger and sterner stuff than that. And that was a special disappointment. But you never saw a Democrat lift his head beyond his breastplate to even get into the battle. I mean, they were strictly AWOL throughout all of this. But it begs the real question, really, of what are we? What is America? What do we really stand for? Do we have a moral compass? Is this a nation of laws? What happened to the humanitarianism and internationalism of Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson at the beginning of the 20th century, in which the United States led the way in establishing covenants and international arrangements in terms of how to deal with torture, how to deal with abuse, how to deal with arms control and disarmament? This is an administration that's walked away from any internationalist document or policy that has been part of bipartisan foreign policy for the last 100 years or so, certainly going back to the Spanish-American War. It's deplorable, and it's happening so easily. And you know darn well that as soon as the Congress gets around to it, Bush is going to get everything he wanted on the warrantless eavesdropping, and probably will even go further than what the White House has been doing up to now, in which the rights of all of us will be compromised. It will all be in jeopardy because even under the new detainee language that he has in the new detainee bill, which I think should be called the torture bill.
Well, I've actually
legal residents of the United States are now at risk.
That's right. And Mel, I have renamed it the Joe Stalin Interrogation and Detention Act of 2006.
Yeah, there is a certain fascist ring to all of this. You know, it was Colin Powell's chief aide, Colonel Larry Wilkerson, who had been with Powell for about 30 years at his side, who talked about a cabal, where he talked about the efforts of Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney, basically to overthrow most of the ways we conduct national security policy in this country. And I always remind people that Cheney and Rumsfeld have been together since the early and mid-1970s. This is what they tried to do for Gerald Ford in the mid-1970s, in that short period when Gerald Ford was president, and they went after Henry Kissinger, they went after detente, they went after the CIA, they went after arms control. But the purpose of everything they were trying to do was to establish an imperial presidency and to ignore all of the checks and balances, all of the separation of powers in our Constitution. So the Founding Fathers, who labored so hard to create a document that would allow the United States to operate in war and peace in an effective manner, have really been pushed aside by Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld, and some of the legal stars, I thought, in our system, the major parliamentarians, people, and I'm talking about a bipartisan group, Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, Pat Leahy of Vermont, Carl Levin of Michigan, John Warner of Virginia, Graham of South Carolina, all of them have just about stepped aside, really, and said, okay, Mr. President, you can have your way. You can have any bill you want. If you want to torture, that's fine. If you want to use the evidence from torture, fine. If you want to give already a pardon to anyone who's committed torture, including people who have murdered suspects and detainees in American prisons and secret prisons in Iraq, Afghanistan, and who knows where else, all of this is now legitimate. This is just deplorable. The only good thing that's happened in the last few days is that national intelligence estimate that's appeared that really exposes the fact that Bush has been lying to us, particularly over the past year.
And Mel Goodman, that's what makes this all so surreal, that the evidence continues to mount. You and I haven't needed additional evidence, but to be fair to some of the senators and members of Congress who supported the administration, I can understand it. It would take a great deal of information for them to moderate or even switch their positions. But they're not appearing to be influenced by the overwhelming data that shows the moral corruption of this presidency, their failure to tell the truth, their outright willingness to do shameful things and manipulate significant long-term issues like this for short-term political gain. It's breathtaking.
Well, yeah, I look at this as not only a threat against the Republic, but it's a threat against the document that anyone who has been in government for any period of time has sworn allegiance to the Constitution. That's basically when you take an oath of office or you're sworn into the CIA, as I was in 1966, your oath is to the Constitution. The Constitution is in crisis in this country, and no one is paying any attention to that fact. There's an occasional op-ed, an occasional editorial, and there's some good talk radio. But by and large, if you look at the national papers day after day after day, this constitutional crisis seems to have just escaped everyone.
Yeah. Mel Goodman is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk with us, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Mel, tell me, from the perspective of a veteran of the agency, the president claimed that he had to have this legislation, had to have it on his terms, and had to have it right now in order to protect the professionals who conduct interrogations and to give them clarity. Now, I'm just overwhelmed that Democrats accepted this kind of rhetoric, got out of the way, and, didn't stand up, even at some personal risk, and say, sometimes lines are crossed, and I just have to say, even if it's the end of my political career, I cannot accept this. And we haven't found a Democrat who can speak that way, and the president is having his way with us.
Yeah, I always thought that on certain issues, people would stand up and be counted, that principle will really mean something. War versus peace, I thought, would be one of those issues. But obviously the Iraq War showed that was an exception, too, that no one was going to pay attention to this rule. I thought the torture and abuse at Abu Ghraib, I thought that was going to be an issue in which people would be willing to fight their swords. And certainly this detainee bill and what's coming down the pike in terms of the warrantless eavesdropping should be another one of those issues that involve principle.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there are no principles anymore. There are no issues that people are willing to fight for.
You mean we just have positions and talking points?
Exactly. And then you move on to the next series of talking points. It's a vote, and then you wait for the next days.
Okay, and Mel, before we go to the break, did the agency need this? Did the professionals demand it?
I tell you the truth, from the rumors I hear and the people I've talked to, and this is a sad fact, it was the lawyers at the CIA who wanted the protection. They've hired a lot of lawyers, right-wing lawyers at the CIA, which is kind of interesting because if you look at the lawyers for the military, it was the lawyers for the military who fought the good fight and didn't get credit for it in the media by getting the military to go back to the old field manual, which upholds the Geneva Convention. At the same time this was happening, the CIA lawyers were going to the Justice Department and saying, look, we want to continue the principles that, or the policies that we're carrying out in these secret facilities, which involve, you know, waterboarding, all sorts of hypothermia, all sorts of torture and abuse, but we need protection from the Justice Department. And they got that in terms of memos from John Yoo and Jay Bybee. But now they have a law. Now they have 65 senators who have voted for this bill to allow them to torture and abuse. It is mind-boggling and unconscionable all at the same time.
And they wouldn't give amnesty to people who are in this country without documents, but they gave amnesty to people who presumably broke the law in torturing detainees.
In the worst possible way.
We'll continue in just a moment with Mel Goodman. Lines are open if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock, roll, and real estate. Listen every Sunday morning at 10 and learn from the experts about investing, 1031 exchanges, exit strategies, and the big question, when the real estate market goes down, is it the time to sell or buy? Rock, roll, and real estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, This is Al Moore with more imported cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 98 BMW 740 IL in showroom condition. The Kelley Blue Book wholesale is $14,400. The sale price for this week only is $9,990.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's MOHR. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. Odd problems kicking off your Friday afternoon drive in Ben Lomond. Fanning at Wald Edgeburg Road. An accident here where a solo vehicle went down a ravine. So CHP is on the way. Also emergency vehicles as well. Not blocking the roadway. But you've got to make way for the emergency vehicles. Also in Castroville, Wood Street near Castro. Not far from Highway 156. A vehicle struck a pole here. Injuries are involved. The good news is no outages have been reported. We're looking at slowing on southbound 101, pretty typically leaving Silicon Valley from Highway 85 to Coyote Creek Golf Drive, also sluggish now through Gilroy, Prunedale, and Salinas. This first look brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, and on approved credit, you'll make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices every day. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 21 minutes past the hour. My guest is Mel Goodman. He's co-author of the book Bush League Diplomacy. And he is an outspoken American who served 27 years, is that right, Mel, at the CIA?
24 at the CIA, but 42 with the government, including the National War College, the U.S. Army, and the State Department. So This isn't easy to do, to realize that a 42-year career has led to observing and seeing this kind of situation that I thought would never happen in the United States of America. I really find that this is a series of events that I thought couldn't take place in this country. Maybe I'm being very naive, but I find all of it very shocking.
Well, if you feel naive, I don't know where that leaves me, because I don't have your distinguished service. I'm just a guy with too many opinions who pays attention. And sometimes there's a burden involved with all that.
Well, I remember I was at the CIA during the period of Vietnam, and a lot of the intelligence the CIA was sending down to the White House didn't really want to see. But they made no attempt to really try to influence that intelligence. They made it clear that if they could, they would have shot the messenger every now and then, and they knew that the message was something that they were having trouble dealing with. But they didn't try to fabricate it. They didn't forge it. They didn't make it up. They didn't outright lie about what the intelligence picture really looks like. But again, with the national intelligence estimate that has been released, at least the key judgments have been released, we know that the evidence that's available to the CIA is the same evidence that's available to the White House. They're all looking at the same briefs. So Bush has been lying to this country about the situation in Iraq. And when Bob Woodward's book gets on the market, which I guess is sometime next week, that book is going to be a bombshell because it's going to explode all these lies. There is so much anger in the military. The last 18 years of my government career were spent at the National War College, and when I left, and part of that was a protest of the Iraq War, a lot of colonels came over to me and told me privately, never in a classroom or seminar setting, about their contempt for Donald Rumsfeld for going to war in a way that risked the lives of American soldiers, American fighting men, and I'll never forgive him for that.
And
nothing but contempt for this man.
Well, and the advance on the Woodward book expands on that contempt, and the distance between Rice and Rumsfeld, the Bushes repeatedly had to lean on Rumsfeld to get him to return Rice's phone calls. So there's a lot of problems inside the administration, and yet they can close ranks to deny us the truth and to stay on message enough to propel this president further forward. Now, I want to ask you about one thing specifically, because we mentioned in passing in the first segment about the broad definition of a UE Let's see, it's an unlawful enemy combatant, a UEC. I'm going to have to get a sweatshirt made up with UEC on it. Dan Ellsberg published a powerful piece in Harper's Magazine this month calling on somebody inside the government who's got documents related to the presumed forthcoming military action against Iran to go public, even at personal risk, even if they end up being prosecuted, because he regrets that he didn't do so much sooner with the Pentagon Papers. Now, I raise this because under this new law, I believe that President Bush could declare Dan Ellsberg a UEC simply for advocating that somebody break the law and spill the beans about the administration's plans for Iran, and that Dan Ellsberg could be sent to Gitmo, could be locked up there for years without being charged, without communication with attorneys or family members, and ultimately could be disposed of through one of these military tribunals, even though he's an American citizen exercising his free speech rights.
Well, I don't read the law that way. I read that legal residents of the United States, but not citizens of the United States, could be at risk. But I don't think Ellsberg is at risk for calling for leaking of these documents with regard to Iran or any other matter, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My own problem with Ellsberg on this Iran issue is, frankly, I think too much is being said about Iran. I don't think this administration has a plan for Iran right now. I don't think people understand how bad the situation in Iraq is, which means that the military is in a situation where they can't come up with any kind of an effective military campaign against Iran. And people like Ellsberg and Scott Ritter and others who keep, they've been saying this for the past year and a half, that there's a military plan, a Pentagon plan to go into Iran, I think are underestimating how deeply embedded we are in Iraq and how we're really in the briar patch on this one, and we have no way of getting out. And we're really in the middle of a civil war situation that's going to further risk American lives. So I think we ought to concentrate really on Iraq, what a disaster Iraq is.
Well,
with the need for withdrawal from Iraq.
I certainly agree with you about the mess in Iraq. I'm very concerned, though, and I guess I have a slightly different take on Iran, because the signals that we're getting from some pretty well-placed sources are that we're now at kind of a phase two of readiness, and that there may be airstrikes and missile strikes launched even before the election.
I would be shocked, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now I just talked about how shocked I've been over the events of the past few weeks. And it was unbelievable to me that the United States was going to go to war in Iraq when it was so predictable that our experience against Iraq would be no different than the British in the 1920s, who eventually had to leave after 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, we're on course. It's probably going to be 7 years when we finally get out in complete defeat,
right,
in Iraq. But again, so predictable. And if Bush had only listened to his father, or if he had read the memoir of his father and General Scowcroft,
yeah,
in two eloquent pages, they talk about why they didn't go to Baghdad in 1991,
mm-hmm,
what the problems were once you crossed that Iraqi border, making bin Laden's day. That's exactly what Osama bin Laden wanted us to do, invade an Arab country,
yep,
and be stuck there for the next generation.
The infidels are on Islamic soil.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mel, I thank you for your outspokenness, and I appreciate your contributions to the discussion, and I share your deep disgust and disappointment at the events this week. We'll have to soldier on and hope that there is some regime change as a result of the November elections, and that maybe some of this can be fixed in the future. I don't share Arlen Specter's confidence that the Republican courts will overturn this law. I think we're going to have to rely on a shift in power and also a shift in attitude, because we have too many Democrats who supported it. Mel, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you for the opportunity, Peter.
Mel Goodman. Thank you. Mel Goodman here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Rory O'Connor joins us. We're going to talk about some of the political ads on TV and radio during this campaign season and much more right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
What would FDR do? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The president has clearly lost patience with the critics of his policy in Iraq.
The party of FDR has become the party of cut and run.
So let's dip into the archives and hear what FDR was saying during the darkest days of his war in 1942.
This is war. The American people want to know and will be told the general trend of how the war is going. But they do not wish to help the enemy, and they will pay little attention to the rumor mongers and the poison peddlers in our midst.
Not that different. We're left to wonder, who would FDR have considered a poison peddler today? What about Bob Woodward, whose latest book accuses the president of withholding the truth about Iraq from the American people?
The insurgents know what they're doing. They know the level of violence and how effective they are. Who doesn't know? The American public.
Your government has unmistakable confidence in your ability to hear the worst without flinching or losing heart. You must in turn have complete confidence that your government is keeping nothing from you except information that will help the enemy.
One more World War II comparison. On the Saturday after Thanksgiving of this year, the war in Iraq will have lasted longer than the war in the Pacific, from Pearl Harbor to the surrender of Japan. Now this.
Transform the look of your home and get ready for the holiday season with help from your neighborhood Ace Hardware. Choose from thousands of paint colors or let Ace custom match any color you bring in. Either way, you'll always get helpful expert advice. Shop Ace Hardware today and save on Ace Royal, our highest quality paint. Buy up to 10 gallons of Ace Royal flat interior paint for just $13.99 each after a $5 rebate. Ace, the helpful place. At participating stores through October 31st. See store for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. It's 33 minutes past the hour, and you're welcome to call the program whenever the urge hits you. My toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Joining us now is Rory O'Connor. He is one of the co-founders of MediaChannel.org with news dissector Danny Schechter. He is one of the producers of the new documentary that we've been talking about and giving away copies of the DVD here on the show, 9/11 Press for Truth. And he blogs at RoryO'Connor.org. Hey, Rory, how you doing today?
Very well, Peter. Always a pleasure.
Well, nice to talk to you again. And can we start with just a little venting?
As always.
This week we've spent a lot of time following the machinations in Washington over a disgraceful piece of legislation that cleared the Senate with 65 votes last night. Yeah. And what has stunned me is the media coverage once again, because the particularly broadcast media gave us very little information about what a departure this legislation is from American tradition and from world standards. And just two examples. Last night, I watched Chris Matthews' Hardball show, hoping to get the latest on the Senate debate and vote. And virtually the entire program was devoted to George Allen's problems with Macaca and allegations that he used the N-word 30 years ago. And then I picked up my first newspaper of the day, the San Francisco Chronicle, and their front page was devoted to the Hewlett-Packard spy scandal and speculation about whether Barry Bonds will sign with the Giants for another season. And I had to go to page 3 for an AP story on the Senate vote. And this is such a critical issue, and as I mentioned, such a landmark departure from American tradition, I'm just stunned that most media have given it short shrift.
Well, first of all, I'm not stunned, given what we've seen over the last decade or so in terms of what's been going on with the media. And second of all, I do want to point out that there have been some good print pieces. Molly Ivins wrote a wonderful piece, Habeas Corpus, R.I.P. E.J. Dion had a nice column in the Washington Post. I think that print comes out smelling a little better than broadcast on this one, Peter.
Well, and I give the New York Times editorial page some credit for its very strong commentary on these issues, and I think in some ways they helped prod Arlen Specter into his moment of courage, which unfortunately evaporated as the week went on.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised, and, you know, Arlen Specter's attempt to keep habeas corpus in that bill failed by a very narrow margin, but then, of course, a lot of the people who voted on his behalf later voted in terms in favor of the entire bill. So, you know, look, one of the great things about this country is we still have the power to say no every 2 years and to throw the bums out, whoever they may be. So there is an election coming up in about 6 weeks. And, you know, if people are as upset as you and I are about this, they have an opportunity to get there and express themselves in the ballot box, and I hope that they do.
Well, and one of the things that's just starting up now is the air war on television primarily, but a little bit on radio. And it has drifted over into the Internet, the blogosphere, and a lot of directed activities. It appears that MySpace.com and YouTube are going to be critical players in this year's midterm elections.
I think there's no doubt about that. I think they're going to be crucial players in every election coming up for the rest of this century, quite frankly. You know, the ground has shifted underneath the media, and, you know, nobody knows exactly what new technology is going to come along, but as they do come along, I think one thing that's clear that they are, these new technologies are empowering the citizens and enabling them to go beyond, over, through, and under the gatekeepers.
Well, and I mentioned Chris Matthews' obsession with the George Allen case, but he, of course, is in deep trouble now because of the remarks he made to a camera that was operated by a member of the campaign team of the opponent. And it was really stupid of him in the way he handled it, and he appears as surprised as many that this has become such a big issue. But it's just one example. Here's another. Also in that race, Jim Webb is the Democratic opponent of George Allen. And I don't know if it's his campaign or an independent expenditure on his behalf, but they're running spots against George Allen because he voted against a specific bill related to the protection of our soldiers in Iraq, and in particular, vests and other safety.
That's an independent spot.
It is. Okay,
yes.
Thanks. And John Kyle, who is in a apparently a tough race in Arizona, Senator, tried to inoculate himself from that by going screaming to the editorial boards in Arizona, saying they're going to run that commercial against me. And I find that kind of interesting because I've never seen somebody kind of preemptively try to protect himself from an upcoming negative ad.
Well, you know, I had the opportunity this week to spend a little bit of time with two of the top pros in terms of media strategy and producing advertising. One on the Republican side of the aisle, Mark McKinnon,
mm-hmm.
who really is a genius at this stuff and is the man I think is the most responsible for electing George Bush president, not only in 2004 but in 2000, and, of course, his Democratic counterpart, David Axelrod. They were here in New York at a panel that was sponsored by USA Today, and the subject was the evolution of presidential campaign advertising. And not surprisingly, both of these men had pretty much the same thing to say, which is that they are losing control. The control is passing to the people. The control is passing to the third part of the entities, the so-called 527s. You know, in many cases, even in the past election, independent third parties spent more on television advertising than either one of the parties did. So despite the fact that $170 million was spent in total by the GOP in 2004 trying to successfully elect George Bush, the man who was in charge of creating the ads and placing the buys, Mark McKinnon, came out this week and said, it's all out of our control. There's more noise, there's more clutter, there's YouTube, there's MySpace, there's third parties, and quite frankly, all that we can do is try to amplify what these independent sources are going to do. And both McKinnon and Axelrod said that they think that the primary determinant in the 2008 presidential campaign will be user-generated videos such as the Macaca video that you just referred to.
Well, I understand that, and I see the trend moving in that direction, but aren't there smarter politicians than George Allen who will not feed YouTube the kind of damaging footage like that?
Well, you know, I think it's an impossible situation. You know, as McKinnon said, who is in control now? It's anyone with a camera. And in point of fact, everyone has a camera. So if you're a candidate now, you are in a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week news cycle with video cameras in the hands of virtually everyone in the audience. That you're never off. You can, and how many of us never make a mistake, never say something that we shouldn't have said? It's going to take a truly superb and absolutely controlled, almost a Manchurian candidate, to avoid any slip-ups.
Well, I agree, and you know, that's why I think we're going to see people more buttoned down, more controlled, controlling the situation. You know, any media will be three blocks away in a fenced-in free speech zone. I just imagine that the attempt to manage this trend will be less communication with the public, less access to the candidates.
Well, I think there may be less communication with the public by the campaigns, but there's going to be more communication to the campaigns by the public.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there's nothing stopping people from making their own advertisements and posting them on MySpace and YouTube. Now, whether or not you have video of George Allen, you know, actually saying the word macaca doesn't necessarily matter. You might be able to, you know, simply to make a 30-second spot that paints him as a racist without necessarily even having him in the spot, and that could be just as damaging as well. So
mm-hmm.
I think we're in a very exciting time, quite frankly. I don't think that there's anyone out there that can tell you exactly all the ramifications of these new technologies, of the fevered blogosphere of MySpace and YouTube and the advent of compressed video, which, among other things, don't forget, when there was only video on broadcast, there were limitations not only on the delivery of that video, but on the content. But when you're in the wild and woolly world of the Internet, those limitations disappear as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be a very deregulated free fire zone out there.
Are you seeing inventive uses of web-based activities in this fall's campaign? I mean, in addition to the gotcha of the macaca video, are there other ways that people are cleverly using the Internet, email, and interactive sites?
Well, I think there's lots of examples. I mean, first of all, this macaque situation with George Allen, you know, everybody points to the video. Now, I've seen the video, and, you know, it was very grainy. It really, the video alone really didn't make the case. What made that an issue and actually threatens to unseat George Allen in a race that he was previously very comfortably ahead was not so much the actual video of the macaque, but it was the political left-wing blogosphere which seized upon this and circulated it widely and wrote about it and literally forced the issue into the campaign and into the mainstream media. So it's a combination of these various factors. It's not just the video, it's not just the blogs, it's not just the email, it's not just the independent 527 groups spending money and making their own ads. It's all of these things all combined together, which are putting pressure on the very seasoned professionals who used to be able to control the message.
We're talking with Rory O'Connor here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a break, and if you'd like to talk with him, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And, Rory, one thing occurs to me. You know, George Allen is getting beat up over this word macaque, which he claims he didn't know the meaning of, and he made it up as he was trying to insult this young man from the opposition campaign that was videotaping his appearance. And what amuses me is that he's getting, you know, really ripped for using that word, yet it is sufficiently inoffensive that you and I can use it. It's not on the George Carlin list at the FCC. It's not banned from ordinary conversation. And I find it ironic, you know, that we can use it in kind of mainstream conversation, and at the same time, his use of the word once is something that may cost him his political career. So I would like to convene here the Peter B. Collins Apologia Chorus, if anyone is offended by our use of the M word.
Excuse me.
And we'll return with Rory O'Connor in just a moment. I see on the shelf here that we have one more copy of the DVD edition of 9/11 Press for Truth, which Rory O'Connor co-produced. And if you'd like to earn a copy, call us with a comment in the next 15 minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And I'm still your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty News shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Take a look at your drive in and around the Monterey Bay area. Not looking at too many stalls or crashes, but it is Friday, so some slowing does continue southbound along 101, leaving Silicon Valley from Highway 85 to a Coyote Creek Golf Drive. That's pretty typical. However, now we're seeing it sluggish through Gilroy, Prunedale, and Salinas. Also under the limit in quite a few spots for your drive along eastbound 25, for the drive between Gilroy and Hollister. Also looking at slow traffic now southbound 17 from the Summit area into Santa Cruz along Highway 1 and northbound 1, bunching up in pockets now between Carmel and Monterey. This look brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai, are you ready for exceptional safety, space, and savings? Then you're ready for the Hyundai Challenge. Come in and test drive today at your Hyundai dealer. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes away from the hour. His Bradness, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, joins us next hour here on the PBC Show. Lines available if you'd like to talk with me and Rory O'Connor. He's a media critic, a media guy. He blogs at roryoconnor.org. He's co-founder of Media Channel. I get those mixed up. Media Channel and Media Global Vision and MediaChannel.org, right?
Yeah, they're both .org.
You got a lot of websites. Hard to keep them all straight. And he is the co-producer of the new documentary that we've talked about on the program called 9/11 Press for Truth. Rory, tell me what kind of reaction you've gotten to the doc since you released it earlier in September.
Well, you know, we've gotten a tremendous reaction. We've literally had hundreds of thousands of downloads because until recently we had the entire film streaming on the Media Channel site as well as on Google. And what I'm most pleased about, Peter, is the reaction from most of the people who came to us and said, I want to thank you because of all the media that we saw about 9/11, this is the one that just came down the middle, asked the questions, presented the information, and didn't draw any conclusions, left that for us. And I was pleased to hear that because that was really our intent in making the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because our leadoff guest on the program today was Gore Vidal. And I know from talking with your co-producer, Kyle Hentz, that there had been an interview with Gore that was contemplated for the film. And it was interesting because a caller asked him about 9/11. And he said, well, you know, if you're asking me if the Bush administration had a role in this, he said, just look at Katrina. He said, I can never believe that they had the competence to pull off some of the scenarios advanced by some of the theorists. But to the central question, he acknowledged that, you know, we don't know the real facts about 9/11. We deserve to know the truth. And he cited his father, who as a United States senator and I think an army official, had written the legislation that required, if there were a hijacking or other incident in the air, that jets would be scrambled. And so he said on that basis alone that he has lingering questions and...
Well, you know, on that basis alone, I can refer your listeners to the new book that's authored by the co-chairman of the 9/11 Commission, Without Precedent, by Tom Kane and Lee Hamilton, mm-hmm. in which they reveal that they came extremely close to going to the Department of Justice and asking them to open a criminal investigation into why the Pentagon was refusing to give them information about that very topic.
Yeah. Mike joins us from Eureka this afternoon. Hello, Mike. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Rory O'Connor.
Yeah. Hi, Peter. Hi, Rory. I was calling about Senator Mukaka.
Mm-hmm.
And, I watched all the press conferences and stuff, and I saw his, feigned indignation and his claim that it wasn't relevant. And I've got to say that... you know, his ancestry isn't relevant to me. I couldn't possibly care less, you know, where his grandparents were from. You know, we all have relatives that came from another country. That's not a big deal to me, but it is a big deal to his Turner Diary, you know, skinhead base. and it amazes me that nobody's willing to discuss that in the media.
Are you referring to the Lynchburg vote?
Well, no, I was referring to his repeated denials as to his...
I understand. I was citing Lynchburg because that's where Jerry Falwell and Liberty University and a lot of the right-wingers are.
Oh, right, right. No, my apologies. Well, yeah, all these people, I hate to see that's what American politics has come to, but it's time to take the gloves off and hit him hard on that. I hope he does lose votes because reasonable-minded people see... you know, his behavior, and I hope that he also loses votes amongst the Turner Diary nut jobs that, you know, appear to me to be his base. I hate to broad brush the good people of Virginia. I'm
but
sure
it's kind of satisfying.
Fine, upstanding people, but...
But it's kind of satisfying at the same time, isn't it?
Well, you know, that
well, it
is already happening to some extent. I just was reading that the Sons of the Confederacy have now come out and attacked Senator Allen because he's moving away from his previous support for the flag of the Confederacy. So he's getting hit from all sides at this point, and, you know, frankly,
right.
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Well, and it's nice to kind of remove him from contention for president in 2008.
Well, then that was my other point, Peter, was, you know, I mean, as important as this election is here, I think that it's pretty much knocked him out for 2008, and that pleases me more than I could say.
Mike, I appreciate your call. Would you like a DVD?
I would love a DVD, Peter.
Well, you hold on here. Matt will get your address. And, by the way, your call today was subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency.
Well, you know it was, Peter. I imagine that they don't have time to have a satellite devoted just to me, but,
they have.
I know that they're there.
Okay. I believe they have a special guy for me, and we call him Benny. And, Benny, every now and then we like to just say hi to you and play this annoying noise so that you rip your headphones off and say, why can't I listen to Rush?
You know, Peter, by the way, speaking of monitoring and while we were on the topic of all this new technology and so on, I hope that you've noted that Congressman Mark Foley of Florida resigned from the House of Representatives today.
Yes, he mastered...
Actually explicit instant messages.
Yeah, you know, it's...
Him and a 16-year-old teenage boy suddenly surfaced in the blog.
Yes, it's a congressional page scandal, mail-to-mail, and this time it doesn't involve Barney Frank or Barney Fagg.
And, you know, and this guy has left because he was afraid that more of these were going to surface, and I'm sure that they will nonetheless.
And did you note that he was chairman of the House Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children?
Yes, I did. And to that, I can only quote the young man who he sent the emails to, sick, sick, sick.
Indeed. Rory, one other thing that surfaced this week is somebody in the blogosphere was traveling and picked up a copy of Newsweek International, which featured a cover story about Afghanistan with very dire commentary. And then apparently they arrived in the United States and picked up a domestic edition of Newsweek. And the cover story was a gushy kind of People or Us magazine style story about celebrity photographer Annie Leibovitz.
Well, again, unfortunate, but no surprise. I mean, this is nothing new. This has been going on in this country for, much of the past decade. Witness the current rash of crazed coverage of this fellow who claimed that he had claimed, and of course turned out not to be true, that he had murdered JonBenet Ramsey. And all of a sudden, all the news disappeared from the cable channels and from the newspapers, and it was all JonBenet all the time, all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a real sickness abroad in this country when it comes to the media, and I think that it is one of the biggest stories. No matter what story we're talking about, the media is also the story.
And, Rory, it was your colleague Danny Schechter who pointed out to me that in 2003, as we were invading Iraq, that CNN had explicitly different feeds for its international service that didn't include the flag lapel pins and the we versus them rhetoric.
Well, you know, anybody who travels a lot will tell you that CNN International is actually a pretty good news source. And, you know, it is available in this country. I watch that here in New York, and I don't watch CNN U.S. for the very reason that you're saying. I mean, they differentiate because they feel as if the American people are not interested in these serious topics.
Rory,
I don't agree with them.
You're right.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A military judge at Camp Pendleton, California, has sentenced a 21-year-old sailor to 10 years in prison for his role, along with seven Marines, in the killing of an innocent Iraqi man who was dragged from his home in Hamdaniya and shot.
Navy Corpsman Melson Bacos told the court that he tried to stop what was happening. I should have walked away, he said, but I wanted to be part of the team. Bacos described in detail what happened last April. Marines, he said, kidnapped an Iraqi civilian, tied his hands and feet, then killed him. After the hearing, Bacos spoke briefly with reporters.
I deeply regret being a part of something like this. Hopefully that family will forgive us for what we have done.
In court, Bacos said, there is no excuse for my immorality. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Camp Pendleton, California.
Under a plea bargain, Bacos will serve just 1 year of his sentence. Rocked by the Mark Foley email scandal just weeks before the midterm elections, Republicans in Congress are circling the wagons.
Following a muted mea culpa yesterday by House Speaker Dennis Hastert, top Republican leaders, including President Bush, are rallying around the speaker, making it more likely he will stay in his job, at least through the election. Other top Republicans in the House who've been pointing fingers at Hastert in recent days are now showing support as Republican political operatives struggle to put forward a unified front, trying to convince voters this scandal is not a good reason to boot them out of office.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss. White House aide Susan Ralston, who has close ties with disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff, resigned today, saying she doesn't want to be a distraction. It was cold and rainy in Pennsylvania Dutch country as the Amish buried the fifth girl killed in Monday's schoolhouse shooting. Donald Craybill, a sociologist at nearby Elizabethtown College, isn't surprised at how the community responded.
They have enormous resources in this community that really will help the bereaved parents, I think, get through this as well as anyone could in these circumstances.
They've also been reaching out to the family of the gunman, Charles Roberts. 11-year-old Barbie Fisher, who survived the attack, says her 13-year-old sister Marion, who was killed, asked Roberts to shoot her first, apparently hoping to give the younger girls a chance. The mayor of Apex, North Carolina, says the fire at a hazardous waste disposal plant is expected to burn all night, and more than 17,000 evacuated residents won't be allowed back home until it's out.